Good morning. Would you pray with me before we begin the sermon this morning? Father, I thank you so much for this time. I thank you that you are the great I am, Father, that one day we will stand before you if we know your Son, and we'll be able to sing those words to you, and we'll be able to say those things to you, and we'll be able to sing hallelujahs to you. I pray that this morning that the words that come out of my mouth, Father, are pure and they are righteous based upon your word. Pray that they are received well to do good works for your kingdom. In your name I pray, amen. Heard the term lately, God must really love crazy people because he sure made a lot of them. Heard that before? I'm truly beginning to believe that statement. I don't know how theologically accurate that is, but in my heart, I kind of think it, right? And I think one of the craziest people that there is around is maybe me, right? Maybe if we look at ourselves, we might fit into some of the crazy that little phrase is talking about. But indeed, things seem just wacky right now. I went to work out the other day and I had to stand still in my bathing suit with a mask on, waiting for the lifeguard to tell me my time started so I could begin my swim and that there was lanes between me, right? So that we could be socially safe and socially distanced and a pool full of sanitizer, right? And then we got out and put our mask and towels on and walked out. It's just a crazy world. People have already started taking the toilet paper again. I don't know if they didn't learn the first time. I went this morning to the grocery store just to put my eyes on it because my wife told me so I can make sure I said that accurately. It is true. I went down the street. There wasn't any toilet paper except what the guy was stocking. It's just a crazy, chaotic, weird time in our world. There are so many good things that God has blessed us with. There are so many good things going on individually and even in the world around us, but it seems like the focus is on all the chaos. It's a troubled place. But I want to read you a passage, and I want to read you from John 16:33, and it's what Jesus said. He said, I have told you these things so that you might have peace. We'll talk about peace later on. That in this world you will have trouble, but take heart, for I have overcome the world. He warned us that there was going to be crazy. He warned us that there would be troubles and chaos. It's no mystery to him. In fact, he makes sure that we understand that he's already overcome all those things. Just quickly to kind of review, we've got crazy that happens in our individual lives, right? We've got crazy that goes on with whatever's happening in relationships, whatever's happening with personal finances, whatever's happening at work or at home. Man, there's things that are going wrong, personal depressions and tragedies that are taking place. I have friends that have lost family members in their lives and still have not been able to have proper funerals. And then there's the crazy, the chaos that's going around in the world, and we don't have to talk too much about it because we don't want to bring ourselves down too much, but the COVID-19, the racial injustice and seeing things from different standpoints and the turmoil that's happening there, the economic downturn, the commodities that are fluctuating on radical scales, division between political parties, where really it just borderlines on just absolute hate for the opposite party these days. Then, when you think it's all over, we heard about the murder wasp. And now, get this, we have the Godzilla dust storm. Right? They named the dust storm the Godzilla dust storm. Because if we weren't already panicked enough, and we weren't always like freaking out enough about all the chaos in the world, they had to give it a name like Godzilla. I looked into the Godzilla dust storm, and it is pretty cool. It's a cool thing that God does. Instead of looking at it as such a tragedy, man, look at it as this awesomeness that God takes thousands and hundreds of thousands of tons of sand, lifts them 2 kilometers, 3 kilometers into the air, takes them 5,000 to 6,000 miles across the ocean and deposits them over other continents. Yes, it's supposed to be twice as bad as it usually is. Yes, it's the worst in 50 or 60 years. But that's beautiful. Not very Godzilla-like to me. Which also makes me wonder, why don't we name like hurricanes something besides all those sweet names like Harvey and Ike? Why don't we name them Godzilla or King Kong or something like that? We need to give them some more vicious names than what we're giving them now. We have that capability. I see that now. It's easy to take on the world's problems and to make them our own. I don't know about you, but I'm a bit of a control freak. And so I want to try to fix it all. I want to try to control it all. I want to try to make everybody understand my point of view and make everybody understand do what I want to do. And what it really boils down to is I'm not in control at all. There are things in this world that I am not in control of, and nor was I designed to be in control of. God's been ready for these moments since the beginning of time. God's been ready and knew what was going to happen. He has a plan ready for us. So what we need to do is we need to find some sort of constant in the middle of the chaos. I've recently been hearing the phrase thrown around, and it is a correct and accurate phrase that says we need to trust in God, or you should trust in God, or I'm going to trust in God. And that is a very true statement. Doing that is a difference maker. But I wonder if sometimes we're actually just saying that more of a cliche and just kind of as a statement to kind of just use to pass on to the next part of the conversation instead of actually taking it to heart. In the midst of all this chaos, we need to find a constant. Trusting in God is how we can do that. Not making it into the cliche, but making something that we actually do day in, day out, from the time our feet hit the ground every morning. How do I do it? Does it even make a difference? We're going to talk about it in just a minute. But it's not just a quick fix or a passive statement. There's truth when you trust in God. See, we need a constant. I was really aggravated when I got to about third or fourth grade and I found out that all my elementary school teachers up to that point had lied to me. See, they told me that the alphabet was just about making words. And then I get about third or fourth grade and they introduce algebra to me and they tell me, no, we're going to use some of the alphabet in math. I didn't like that. Variables, all this kind of stuff. But what they did tell me was that there's a constant in the equation. There's something that you can anchor to that stays the same. And based upon that, you try to solve the problem. We need constants in a lot of areas in our life, not just mathematics or logic. Constants are things that we know that we can stand true on, things that are not going to change. I've been lost a lot in my life. Spiritually lost wasn't exactly what I was talking about, but I've been there too. But I hike a lot, and I drag my family along on adventures, and my wife is usually on the wrong end of this. And I've been lost in the mountains at 9,000 feet where a 10-mile hike turned into a 17-mile hike, and I heard about it a long time after that. And one time I remember we were actually on a ski trip, and this really wasn't a hike, but we had gone to the grocery store to kind of get groceries. We're kind of trying to do it on the cheap. And so the bus dropped us off somewhere in this little town, and we thought, oh, it'd be nice to walk because there was a little snowstorm happening. And by the time we got to where the grocery store was, this was a full-on blizzard. It was like a whiteout. I'm a Texas boy. I get snow about once every 3 years, and it barely covers the ground. So this was a big deal, and I thought it was awesome. So when we came out with the groceries, I'm like, man, let's go find the other bus stop in the snow. I couldn't see my hand in front of my face hardly, so I'm following the lines in the parking lot, trying to orient myself, and we got lost. It didn't take us very long to figure out Lance had another really bad idea, that you can't go find something that you don't know where it is in the middle of a place where you can't even see your hand in front of you. So we went back to the constant. We went back inside the store where we knew where it was, where we could find safety, where we could find protection, we could find the warmth, where everything seemed okay, where we could rest and wait till things calmed down. Everybody needs a constant in their life. And the fact is that God can only be the real constant. Here's the reason why. I want to read a scripture from Isaiah 41:10. It says, "Fear not, for I am with you. Be not dismayed, for I am your God. I will strengthen you, I will help you, and I will uphold you with my righteous right hand." Undoubtedly, the constant we need is an all-knowing and all-loving God. I want to run through a couple things just as a reminder for us on what Scripture says about who God is. Some of these are from God himself saying what he is, how he declares himself. So when we say, why should we make God the constant in our lives? Even as believers, sometimes we question it. Maybe we should just turn things around to make it something that's a convenience that's constant in our life. Here's what the scripture says. It says that God never changes. In Malachi 3, it says, "For I, the Lord, do not change." In Revelation 1:8, he says, "I'm the Alpha and Omega. He is everlasting." In John 1:3, he says, "All things were made through him, and nothing was made without him." He's the creator of everything. God is infinite and all-powerful. Psalm 147 says, "Great is the Lord, abundant in power. His understanding is beyond measure." God is sufficient and he has no needs. In Ephesians 3, it says, "Now to him who is able to do immeasurably more than all we could ask or imagine." God is good. He is infinitely, unchangeably kind and full of goodwill. Psalm 34 says, "Oh, taste and see that the Lord is good." God is just. He's right, and he's perfect in all that he does. Deuteronomy 32 says, the rock, his work is perfect, for all his ways are just. And finally, the Lord is gracious. God is infinitely inclined to spare the guilty. That's where his heart is. Psalm 145 said, the Lord is gracious and merciful, slow to anger, and great in loving kindness. Trusting in God is the only sure way to anchor ourselves to a constant that is unchangeable, that is loving, that is kind, that is infinitely wise. And so in the midst of everything that's going on, that's what we need to hold on to. So what's the magic or the great little trick to trusting in God? I'd start off by telling you that it isn't magic. It's anchoring yourself to the person that's in charge, not the person, the God that's in charge of absolutely everything. I've learned in my life, and I'm sure you have too, that you want to find the person that's in charge in a situation, and you want to be near them, right? The smart person in the room, the person that's going to lead you in the right direction, the boss, the person that can either help you get to the next level or help protect you. I've learned that just as a human being. Wouldn't I want to do that in my spiritual life and in my life here on earth? To attach myself and to bond myself with the God of creation that is in charge of absolutely everything and has all wisdom. We're not in charge. It doesn't matter what political party you like. It doesn't matter which news station you choose to look at. It doesn't matter which favorite author or athlete or actor or musician you might hear some cool words from. It's God that's in charge, and putting our faith in man is dangerous. Proverbs 29:25 says, a fear of man will prove to be a snare, but whoever trusts in the Lord is kept safe. We can try to listen to what man develops as a philosophy. We can try to listen to what man wants us to do. We can try to please others, but that's just a trap that Satan has set for us. Have you ever set a snare for an animal? Have you ever seen an animal in a snare? It's not pretty. It's a method in which to catch something and to kill it. And Satan sets those snares for us by giving crafty words to people in our society that we want to hear because they seem convenient and nice to us, as opposed to listening to the God of all creation and what he has to say. I want to read this because it's important for us to know that when we're trusting in God, he has a plan. Jeremiah 29:11, we've heard it many times, but I want you to hear the verses afterwards and really comprehend them. It says, for I know the plans I have for you, declares the Lord. Plans to prosper you, not to harm you. Plans to give you hope and a future. And then you will call on me and you will come and pray to me and I will listen to you. How beautiful is that? You're going to pray and he lets you know, I'm going to listen. And here's what I think is the most powerful verse in that chapter, is verse 13 and part of 14. You will seek me and then you will find me when you seek me with all of your heart. And I will be found by you. This is the God of all the universe, the creator of everything. He is listening to us. He is hearing our prayers. And he is going to allow himself to be found by me so that I can see what his plan is for me and my life. It's beautiful. It's beautiful to think that the creator of all the universe cares about me individually and you individually just like that. It's up to us to participate in that plan. And that's where the faith comes in. That's where the trusting in God comes in. Do we participate in the plan that he has developed for us, or do we decide to put a plan in place that's developed by ourselves? He wants to be your constant, not because he needs you, but because he loves you and he wants you. He has pursued you with all his love, all the way from heaven with his son. He has chased you down with his love. I want that as my constant. I want to be developed into somebody who will chase others down with my love, not hate. Here's what trusting in God gives us. Here's the mechanism and how it works. Here's the magic that people want to know about. Why does just trusting in God work? It's not just saying these words. There's a lot of people that believe in God. Satan himself does. But trusting in him, becoming him, accepting his son to redeem you from your sins, and then having a relationship in him and being able to let him be your guide. This is what happens. It says, and when you do that, when you trust in God, you understand what his plan is for you. then you want the things that he wants. So then you do the things that he wants, which allows you to love in ways that he wants and able to change and do things based upon what his methods and direction are. And then you're able to live in contentment and peace. I want to go back through each of those. So first of all, you understand his plan. When that Holy Spirit comes into your life, when you get into relationship with you, he begins to tell you what your spiritual gifts are, what the plan is, the directions he wants you to go. You hear that. You listen to that. Then you read scripture and you pray and you listen to what he says. You see the beauty of his creation, the perfect things that he's made around, and you begin to be able to understand on what he wants you to do. You respond to those scriptures and seeing those things and listening to him by then going and doing the things. He opens up opportunities. The Holy Spirit will reveal to you opportunities in which you can have relationships with other people in new ways, which you can minister to people in new ways, how you can love people unconditionally, how you can begin to try to see others from the perspective of what they see, and most importantly, what God sees in them. This all happens when you trust God, and it ends up with the ability for you to have peace. Now, there's a difference between peace and pleasure. I told you at the beginning that we're going to talk about that. Pleasure is temporary. Pleasure is the feel good. It comes and it goes. Pleasure is not bad all the time, but Satan really operates in pleasure. He would like you to just focus on the pleasure side, but what God offers is peace. The ability to know that you're operating within his plan, not just for yourself, but for the entire universe. The ability to see lives change and transform. Something that is long-lasting. Something that is in your eternity. There's a difference between peace and pleasure, and I pray that you would seek out the peace and not always the pleasure. If God hasn't been the constant of your life, if he's not what you've anchored yourself to in the midst of all this, then there are going to be troubles because you haven't been able to attach yourself to the Jesus that's already overcome the world. I would ask that today you would think to yourself, is what I'm anchored to, is what is the constant in my life really of value? Is it really worth anything? Or should I be looking at what God's trust would bring in my life, what the truths of who he is? God demonstrated his love for us from the very beginning. He demonstrated his love for us by sending his son to come and redeem us from our imperfections. As quickly as we became imperfect, he had the plan in place to redeem us from our imperfections. Don't fall into the trap that the devil sets. So often he says, just wait till you get things right. Wait till you kind of work through your philosophy and you kind of figure out what you want to do and whether you can buy into this. And man, you're not good enough. You can't really come to God and be his right now. Do you understand that Jesus is not in love with the future version of you? He's in love with the you right now. That's why he's willing to take on all the sin. That's why he did that work on the cross. He loved you in the midst of your imperfection. He wants to come alongside of you and work with you so that you can work through and he can be a guide for you in all aspects of your life. Don't step away because you think you're not ready. There's never a better time to be loved by Christ than right now. There's never a time maybe to have a transformation of your heart, to look at your belief system in a completely different way, not through your eyes, but through his eyes. And that's not a message for one side or the other. That's a message for whatever is going on in your life. To see things through the eyes of a loving, all-powerful, generous God that has a right and a wrong, but also shows mercy to those that don't do right. To my brothers and sisters who are Christian followers, I pray that we would continue to center ourselves on God. And if you haven't, it's easy to get off that track sometimes. It's easy to be persuaded. It's easy to be enticed to anger or to judgment. It's easy to think that, oh, this isn't working right now, or why isn't God just fixing this? I pray that you would make that constant your anchor again. And if you are, keep it that way and bring on your others and brothers and sisters for that way. You see, we've been able to clothe ourselves in the righteousness of God, not because we are righteous, but because he's righteous. You can look through scripture where he tells you that. We have that ability now. We are the bride of Christ. And I don't know about you, but a bride doesn't look all sloppy for her groom. Scripture says that we're supposed to be preparing ourselves for his return. Have you ever been to a wedding where the bride looks sloppy? The bride spends lots of money and lots of time and has all sorts of ladies come around her, right, to make her look as beautiful as possible for the wedding day. Losing weight, making sure that you got the tan, all those things that a bride will do. Sometimes the guys do a little of that, not so much though. That's what we're called to do, is to clothe ourselves and to make ourselves so beautiful in the eyes of God. To clothe ourselves with his righteousness so we not only are ready for his return, but we're able to influence others to let them know about the love that he has. To let them understand how beautiful an image it is to be belonging to be loved by a God who's in control. Don't let your hearts be troubled is what Scripture says. Remember that God is at work in the mess and that he's sufficient to meet all of our needs. I want to read this from Psalms 37. It says, trust in the Lord and do good. Dwell in the land and enjoy safe pastures. Take delight in the Lord and he will give you the desires of your heart. Do you know why he'll give you the desires of his heart? Because when you trust in the Lord, his desires become your desires. They fuse together. You become one with what he wants to do in this world, and therefore you are motivated in a crazy way to go out and to do things that he wants you to do. To spend time with him, to love on him, to worship him and tell him how beautiful he is, to find ways to love and forgive others. Here's what we need to do as believers. We need to overflow in our lives from what God has given us with hard work and goodness and kindness and love and forgiveness, never compromising what we believe and what we know God has said is true, but doing it with grace. If God gets such great pleasure from giving us blessings, and Scripture tells us that in so many places, that he loves to bless us, that he loves to take care of us, that he loves to protect us. If he loves to do that for us, then we should love to do that for our fellow man. So kind of close this morning, last couple of passages I want to read. I want to go back to that passage that Jesus said in John 16. I have told you these things so that you may have peace, that in this world you will have trouble. But take heart, for I have overcome the world. He wants us to have peace in the midst of the trouble and to not be concerned with everything that's going on because he has taken over. He has overcome it. He has worked it through in his plan. I want to read this last scripture for you before we close this morning and I pray for us. Psalm 56 is David's psalm. And it's in the middle of a bad time for David. David is being pursued and actually at that point has been kind of captured and surrounded. He has to do some really crazy things in front of the king of Gath. But things are not looking good for the guy that would be one of the greatest kings in Israel's history. Not by a long shot. These are the words that he says in the midst of one of his greatest trials and some of the greatest fear that one might think he would have. He says this in Psalm 56. When I am afraid, I put my trust in you, in God whose word I praise. In God I trust, and I am not afraid. We don't need to operate in fear. We need to operate within the righteousness of the constant of God's love and his grace. As the worship team comes up, I'm going to just pray for us. But I want you to find peace in God who is the constant in the midst of all this chaos. We can rest in the Lord who is in control, even when the world around us is filled with uncertainty. If we trust in God who loves us beyond measure, then we can have peace that's beyond measure. We can have a peace that surpasses all understanding. I'm going to trust in Jesus with my troubles, and I hope that you will too. And I hope that you find ways to take him being your sinner and put on your best clothes. Put on the best you that you possibly can with his help. And go out and make a positive difference in everything that's going on. And be a world changer. We, as the body of Christ, probably have different opinions on so many different things that I listed at the beginning. But the constant for us is God. The constant is the truth that he speaks in his word. And if we can anchor ourselves to that as a church, we'll be able to show the world that they can anchor themselves to that and have salvation eternally. Would you pray with me? Father, I thank you so much for this day, and I thank you for the time to be able to speak your word, Father. I thank you that we were able to listen and hear, but I also pray, God, that we would put into practice the things that we talked about this morning, that we would trust in you, not just saying the words, Father, but with the action of our hearts, with the thoughts of our mind, that we would make you the center of everything that happens in our lives. Every post that we make, every comment that we make, even when we think about the people that have a crazy bumper sticker that we don't agree with us in front of us, Father, that we would just exude love to society around us, holding firm to what is right and what is wrong, but offering grace to those around us. In your name I pray.